Take your Bible tonight. I want you to turn to 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1. I've entitled the sermon, Prophecy Fulfilled. Prophecy Fulfilled. 2 Peter chapter 1. Find verse number 19. And as always, might we stand for the reading of the Scripture. We do this out of reverence to the Word of God. It also prepares us to be seated comfortably for just a few minutes hereafter. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 19. Again, tonight I'll say, young people, I want you to pay attention. As you gravitate back into here, I want you to pay attention up this way. And young people, look up at me while I'm talking to you. Let me tell you something. You might think that I'm not watching, but I have a thing that's called peripheral vision. And I can pretty well tell when people are paying attention. And so you've been doing good, and I'm proud of you. But especially on a sermon of prophecy, prophecy is a little harder to teach. So I need to concentrate a little bit more. So you pay real close attention because I'm a real dumb teacher. That makes it so I can get the job done well. All right? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, wherein too ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Tonight, the sermon, Prophecy Fulfilled. And let's pray. Holy God, please help us. As I teach, I certainly need a little extra unction, a little extra concentration. Lord, I certainly do not want to teach my way, but your way. I don't want to teach my thoughts, but your thoughts. Help us, Lord, tonight, that as a result of this sermon, we'll be more solid in our belief in the truth of the Bible. Might we see the fulfilling of your predictions, and knowing then that there are more yet to come that maybe in our lifetime we'll see fulfilled. Bless us tonight with a unity in our spirit and in our midst. God, help us not to have just another night at church, but a supernatural divine appointment with the Creator of the universe. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll have a seat there, that passage of Scripture said, we also have a more sure word of prophecy. You say, what's that sure word? That's your King James Bible. That's a word of God. And it said we need to take heed to it. We watch the light of Jesus shine into the darkness of our world. And when we get a little confused about what does the future hold, let me assure you, you don't have to worry about what the future holds. You just need to be concerned about who holds the future, and your future is in good hands. Your future is not really in the hands of the government of the United States of America. Your future is in the hands of the governor of the universe, which is our great God. The Bible said here that there is no private interpretation of the things in this book. And that's one reason why we would say to you, bring your Bible, use your Bible. We want you to use your Bible. And the Bible then, it tells us, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Folks, we have a holy book. We have a holy God. And our God, through the centuries, has made it possible for us to know of some future events. We're going to talk about some of them tonight. Actually, I'm going to start out by telling you of one that is futuristic still. And I'm going to tell you about something that will come someday. Then the last part of the sermon, and the bulk of the last part of the sermon, is going to be talking about some unique, special little events that have already taken place that we would call, and the reason for the sermon title, Prophecy Fulfilled. I'm going to read to you. You do not have to turn to it. If you can get to it quickly, I would welcome you to go to Revelation chapter 13. But you need to turn quickly. Revelation chapter 13, I'm going to read to you starting with verse 16. Now here's what I want you to do. If you can't get to it, By the time I start reading, just listen, because I'll be past the scripture while you're still turning your pages, and you'll miss its purpose. Revelation 13, verse 16, it says, "And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. And that number then is equivalent to the number 666. How many of you have heard of the prophecy, the foretelling of an eventual number that will be placed on the forehead or on the hand that will include the number 666, and we call it the mark of the beast? How many of you have heard of that before? It's in the Bible. That's not come to us yet. It's forthcoming. We're getting all warmed up with it because we've got tattoos everywhere that's getting people used to having markings on their body. But it's forthcoming. It will come eventually. Now, I want you to understand something. I'm not real big into the conspiracy theory type of a thing. You say there are conspiracies out there. I know there always have been. There have been all the way back before man was ever on the face of this earth. There was conspiracy in heaven, so you know. But I don't get all rattled about it because I know where I'm going and I know how I'm getting there and I know who's in charge. And so I try to keep a level head and keep on doing the work of God in the midst of all the political conspiracy theory and everything. But I am going to say something to you. There was a rumor that had circulated in regard to the Obamacare and a microchip that would be inserted into the program that would be used then to usher in the mark of the beast. Now, the rumor that the ACA, and that's the Affordable Care Act, or better known as Obamacare, the numbers that used to describe it are HR 4872. The HR is an abbreviation for health care reform. The rumor that the Affordable Care Act was about a microchip that was being inserted in the back of the hand of each U.S. citizen to track and help administer their health care needs. That rumor is not true. They're not doing that. Although the rumor was started because of a factual event that in the rough drafts of the Obamacare Act, there was wording in place for such a chip to be used. RFID stands for Radio Frequency Identification. And in the beginning stages of the plan for national health care, they had actually had a microchip that would be inserted in the human body so that they could track us. And they could, you would just scan that thing, and it had your identification, and it had your health information. You were in an accident, you were knocked out. They could scan the back of your hand or that chip, and they would have access to your information. In one of the drafts, and this is a rough draft known as H.R. 3200, which was presented to Congress in March of 2010, and actually, Section 2521, page 1001, paragraph 1, entitled National Medical Device Registry. I'll quote to you from that now. It says, "The Secretary shall establish a national medical device registry to facilitate analysis of post-market safety and outcome data on each device that A, is or has been used in or on a patient, B, is a Class 3 device or a Class 2 device that is implantable." Now, you say, a lot of thick words and numbers there. It's just basically saying there was intent for a microchip that could have your information on it, and it would be implantable in the human body. Now, this was in a rough draft for the final Obamacare program. It did not make it into the final program. But I think it's good that you know it was a part of the rough draft. And earlier, I told you, that is not, it's not in there that I know of, and I'm just dumb enough. How many of you ever read much on the Obamacare? I read a lot on it. I've read pages after pages after pages. They made it thick enough that nobody wants to read it. But now let me explain something to you. These microchips and the registration implants are currently already being used. They're used on people's pets today. Anybody here have a pet that has a microchip in it? Okay, maybe your dog's going to have the mark of the beast. I'm not sure. I've seen a couple dogs that already have the mark of the beast. But they already use them. They're recommending them. It's a chip that helps, you know, they scan the chip and they can track Fido and they can find Fluffy or whatever your cat's name is. They can find that. They can put them in your mother-in-law. They all the animals have access to those. So listen, they also started using them on people that had contracted highly contagious diseases. And then they would know that they had them. The chip tracking is kind of already in place. Matter of fact, your telephone. Have you been trying to make the decision whether you will swipe your credit card or let it read the chip? Okay. The ability to track cars. The OnStar device. You understand they can follow a car anywhere they want. They can turn it off. They can turn it on. And you say, is there a great big computer in the car? No, there's a very little chip in the car. Now, that's a prophecy that is yet to come. And I've already told you that rumor that it was in the Obamacare, that was not true. Now, the reason the rumor was there is because in the previous stages of the planning of the bill, they had some wording in there that got taken out of there. That doesn't mean it couldn't be put back in there someday. But you know what you do in Congress. You present something, they don't like it, they throw it out, but you presented it, and later on they bring it back up again, hoping that they lightened everybody's attitude toward it. But someday, there's coming a day, according to Revelation chapter 13, verse 16, 17, and 18, that everybody, the people that in that day, there's going to be a way to mark the back of the hand or the forehead with a number that identifies them. It'll include those three numbers, 666. It's called the mark of the beast. Now, that's prophecy that's yet to come. That will happen someday. Because if God said something's going to happen, it's going to happen. Now, people love the study or the teaching of prophecy. Prophecy means future events. It's almost like God-inspired fortune-telling, if you will, but it's exact. It's exact. Prophets were given insight from God to foretell future events and for the Word of God. You have to understand. And look up this way. Folks, let me tell y'all something. If somebody in the church service tends to get your attention off of me, the devil got what he wanted. Just look right this way and ignore everybody else. Just ignore everybody else and you'll learn and you'll probably be better off. You'll be less frustrated at the end of the service. Listen, when these men that God used were given prophecy, this was God ordained. These are not people that had a human ability to prophesy. That's a bunch of baloney. These were people that were given the ability to tell future events as a part of the production or the revelation of the Word of God that already existed in heaven. So you go see a fortune teller and they say, oh, I've got this power. The only power they have, the only movement they have is they might have had beans for breakfast. But the truth of the matter is, they're full of beans. And I'm going to tell you something, that's a bunch of hocus pocus garbage. And you get all the junk out of Hollywood about all people making all their predictions and all that. And you're not going to be you're not going to look at your horoscope and figure it all out. And let me tell you something. These people had a power that came from God for the specific purpose of writing the Word of God. That's why it was given to them. You watch some of your religious television fanatics. Let me tell you, there's enough trash on television to rot your religious mind out. When they get on there and they got a word of knowledge. You've got the only word of knowledge you're ever going to get. It's the Bible. It starts in the book of Genesis. It ends in the book of Revelation. We don't need any new revelation. You say, why not? We're not doing what we've already been given to do. We don't need any new revelation. We need to get back to the old revelation. Lester Roloff said, we don't need to rewrite the Word of God. We just need to reread it. We need to re-believe it. We need to reestablish our belief in it. But prophecy and the prophecies of the Bible came from God. I think God finished. The Bible said, when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part shall be done away. I think we now have that which is perfect. Jesus Christ was perfect. The Word of God was perfect and done. We don't need a bunch of new predictions. God chose to deliver prophecy to us through men who were called prophets. We call them major prophets or minor prophets. Now, don't get mixed up about that. Sometimes people hear about a major prophet, minor prophet, and they think, well, does that mean that some prophets were less important than other prophets? It really has nothing to do with it. What we did is we called them a minor prophet if there were just a few pages in their prophecy, and we called them a major prophet if there were a lot of pages in their prophecy. I could put it this way. Brother Pine, if he had been a prophet, he would be a major prophet. You say, why? That's a big guy, all right? Tom is a good guy. That's all I want to say. Now, I'm going to show you some things. I'm going to be very quick. The truth is, I don't think as quick. I want to get through all of these, and I've rambled, and because the Edwards song was so good, I took way too much time on my introduction here. But I'm going to give you some prophecies, and these are some unique, special things that I think have already come true. And these are not, but a couple of them, they're not historical events. And I'll tell you this also. What I'm about to say, I would not argue with you about it for a moment. I'm not a guy that stands around and argues about prophecy. You say, why? Well, I could be wrong. Let's cut that out of the tape, Brother Dave. I don't want word to get around about that. But I don't spend my time fussing about this sort of thing. And if you say, well, I disagree with that, fine. Go ahead and disagree. It doesn't matter to me. I'll show you some things that I think are some things that God predicted that we've seen come true. For instance, God used the prophet Nahum. And I think he reveals to us the fact that we would have automobiles someday. I'm going to read to you from Nahum chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Listen very carefully. It says, "The shield of his mighty men is made red. The valiant men are in scarlet. The chariot shall be with flaming torches in the day of his preparation, and the fir tree shall be terribly shaken. The chariot shall rage in the streets. They shall jostle one against another in the broad ways. They shall seem like torches. They shall run like the lightnings." Chariots, that would have been their mode of transportation in that day, and that would have been the verbiage or the wording they would have used for something that transported them. In verse number 3, I want you to notice the words, "The chariot shall be with flaming torches." That very possibly could be the combustible engine. Verse 4, it said, "The chariot shall rage in the streets." There's the speed of the automobile. That's where women drivers are mentioned in the book of Nahum. The Bible, I'm going to preach the Bible whether you like it or not. The Bible says they shall jostle one against another. Anybody have a jostling in your chariot recently? There you have the wrecks and the fender benders on the highway. It says in the broad ways. There you have your freeways or your highways or your tollways. They shall seem like torches. There is the fire of the engine, or maybe the headlights of the engine. They shall run like lightnings. There you have the speed of the automobile, which could be a Chevy 396 with a four-barrel carburetor. That'd be my prediction of what that part of the Bible means right there. But Nahum, I think, very possibly predicted that one day there would be the automobile. Nahum, I think, also possibly was used to talk to us about the armored vehicles, tanks. Listen, and I'll read to you from Nahum chapter 3, verse number 2. "The noise of a whip and the noise of the rattling of the wheels and of the prancing horses and of the jumping chariots." Notice the wording, "the rattling of the wheels and the jumping chariots." Maybe we have a prophecy here of tanks being used or armored vehicles being used as we got into the latter part of history. Some believe that that is an armored vehicle. you say, what's the prancing horses? Well, you understand, how do we rate the power of an engine? Horse power. Well, you know, a tank's got some horse power. It's got a lot of depth to it. It climbs. Now, the rattling of the wheels. You ever heard a tank? When a tank's coming through, you know it's not running on Uniroyal tires. And so, did I hear pizza? Oh, good. That's a prophecy of mine. Now, so I think that Nahum possibly saw the automobiles. I think that Nahum possibly predicted the use of armored vehicles someday, and Nahum is a prophetic writer. Now, the Bible predicts and tells us that the earth is round. You say, what's the big deal about that? You understand for how long in history they thought the earth was flat? Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 22, the Bible says, it is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof as the grasshoppers. Huh, isn't that interesting? God, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, tells us that the earth is circular. The circle of the earth. God already knew the earth was round. You say, why? Well, he created it, but not only that, he could see it from his perspective quite easily. Yet it was just hundreds of years ago that man discovered the earth was round. Magellan sailed around the world. They used to believe the world was flat. They thought if you sailed far enough out into the sea, you'd come to a point where you'd fall off. And I hope they're still teaching that in history, because for the longest time, they denied that the earth was round. But God had told them a long time before that the earth was circular. I hope there was some preacher back then that was preaching, those of you that say the earth is flat, it can't be. And somebody say, well, what makes you so sure? Because the book of Isaiah says it's round. A fundamentalist of their day would have insisted that the scientists were wrong. Just like a fundamentalist of our day will tell you, you did not come from evolution and a monkey. You were created by Almighty God. Well, what makes you so sure you're right? Because the Bible says in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And so, I think Nahum probably predicted the automobile. I think Nahum predicted the tank. I think Isaiah let us know far before modern scientists discovered that the earth was round. We were told it was round. If we would have accepted that by faith back then, they would have been better off. In the book of Hebrews, God allowed us to know that there were many planets, not just one. We might refer to it as the planetary system. Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 2 says, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Plural. Worlds, plural. It's a big deal to me when people fiddle with the Word of God and they start moving words around. Do you know the devil would like nothing more than to take the S off the word worlds, which then would have made God not the one that revealed there was more than one planet, which then would mean God did not have the ability to predict the planetary system for our knowledge. Messing with the Word of God is a dangerous thing. That one little S on the end of that word makes all the difference in the prophetic fulfillment of that. Now, so you notice the word worlds. A long time before man discovered the planetary system, God mentioned that there were worlds, plural. In other words, there was not just one planet. God told us. You see, we'd look up, we'd see the stars, but other than the moon, what more could you see? The moon and the sun. The sun is a star. Then one day, man said, I've discovered, and looked right this way. A man said, I've discovered a thing that I'm going to call a telescope. And then man said, well, let me tell you something. I discovered some planets. You didn't discover anything. You finally seen what God already put there. And God had already said it was true. He put it in the Word of God. You say, well, that's only traced back to New Testament time. I've got news for you. The Bible traces back far farther than the New Testament time. It always has been and always will be. And so we did not, man didn't discover it. If man would have wanted to know that there were worlds, all he had to do was read the book of Hebrews, which Hebrews was written before they discovered the telescope. They would have known a long time before that there was a Mars or a Pluto or a Venus or a Jupiter. They would have known that the moon is made of cheese. So God, in the Scripture, tells us of the planetary system. And so what's the big deal about all this? Let me tell you something. You have to understand, you're looking back on some of this historically and say, what's the big deal? You got to realize these things were in the Bible a long time before man ever discovered them. And when man came across them, they said, wowie zowie, look at that, Batman. Well, the truth of the matter is, it was in the Bible a long time before. And let me tell you something. There are some wonderful things coming in the future that are predicted that you and I, we're going to get there. And you're going to say, oh, I wasn't expecting that. It was in the Bible all along the way, just as much as there will be fulfillment in the future that you and I get to see. Those in the past got to see the fulfillment, or they got to see that some of these things were possible in the future. And if God said it was going to happen, it's going to happen. Number five, the Bible tells us medically that the life of the flesh is in the blood. Leviticus 17:11 says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls." God knew that the life of the flesh was in the blood. You know, people didn't know that until recent studies. Your blood determines your health. And if you don't believe me, go down to the hospital. And you know what they'll say? Give us some blood. Why do you want my blood? Well, I want to find out what's wrong with you. I want to find out what's wrong with you. George Washington had his blood drained from his veins in an effort to make him well. What was their idea? Well, we want to bleed out some of that bad blood. Scientists and doctors in that day did not know. It's not really taking it out, it's putting it in. Now we take blood tests to find out what someone is troubled with, or that with which they're troubled. Did you know, there's a book out, I forget who wrote it, and it doesn't matter. It's called Eat for Your Blood Type. And that's where your blood type, there are certain foods that adjust to your body a little better. But I'll promise you, folks, when they do a blood test, they're merely doing something that God could have recommended to them all the way back in the beginning. When they came along and they started to realize, wow, this blood stuff, it surely does tell us something. God would have said, I told you a long time ago the blood was going to tell you the story. And the blood, by the way, tells you the story of the health of a human being's eternal destination. You've either had the blood of Jesus Christ applied to your account and you're going to be very healthy in eternity, or you have rejected the blood of Jesus Christ and your eternity is not going to be so healthy in hell. The blood determines a lot. Let me move on. I think the Bible probably predicts television or FaceTiming. Revelation chapter 11, verse number 9. The Bible says, "And they of the people of kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves." In the end time, there will be two preachers. They'll come to earth and preach. I believe it's Elijah and Enoch, because the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. There are two men that did not die, but they were translated, and that's Enoch and Elijah. And God said in the end time there will be two prophets that will preach. Now, the reason why I think it's those two men is because those two men then will die as a part of this prophecy, and God fulfills 100% his prediction. It's appointed unto man once to die. The only ones that will not die are those, according to Revelation chapter 4, verse number 1, and 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, those that are going to be translated through rapture, which is the Greek word rapio. It's a snatching away from this earth. Everybody else must die at least once, because what the Bible says in the book of Hebrews about man dying once. Now, these two prophets, they are going to be killed in the streets in Jerusalem. Then the Bible says, listen to what it says, "And they of the people and the kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies." How in the world could the Bible predict that there would be a way for all the nations to see the bodies of those men in the street unless there was a way that people could see all the way around the world that event at one time taking place. God knew that there would be the television or probably the internet. If I ever call you every once in a while, my smartphone has a dumb operator. And on my smartphone, I can push a button and it's FaceTime. Now, I'm going to apologize. I'm not real good with this FaceTime thing. And every once in a while, I'll go to call someone and I push FaceTime. You say, what do you do then? I immediately hang up on you. I think, oh no, what's it doing? I start pushing buttons and I hang up. Then I kind of think, well, do I really want to call them back and admit, or do I say that was one of those accidental dials? There are other terms for it. I don't use that in the pulpit, but but that FaceTime thing, that's a little bit weird to me. But we will talk to our grandchildren. And the funny thing is, they're better with FaceTiming than their grandpa. You know, they're pushing this thing on, turn it off, say, just a moment, Grandpa, I'll be right back. And they're pushing buttons, and they're making their screen wider and everything. And I'm thinking, hold still. I'm getting motion sick here with everything that's going on. But do you realize that all the way back in the Bible, it was predicted that two prophets would die and they would lay in the street and the entire world could see it all at one time? How could God say that is possible unless he knew that there would be technology available to make it happen? Now, what is that technology? I don't know. Maybe it's TV. Now, you know, the TV was not invented, I think, Brother Buck, early 1900s. Isn't that when it was? I thought you were a part of that. I'm sorry, Buck. I'm not sure, but I think it was the early 1900s when television was invented, and we know the internet became more and more popular, the FaceTiming and all that we can do today. But I can tell you this. Long time before that, God had already decided there would be a way for that event to take place. You say, what is that? That is a prophecy that is yet coming, but the mechanism for that prophecy to be fulfilled is already in place. Let's go on. I think there's a possibility that God predicted the use of telephones, or maybe texting, if you will, maybe faxing, which some of you young people, you don't know what a fax is because that's old hat. But I think that's possibly predicted, prophesied in the Bible. Job chapter 38, verse number 35, it says, "Canst thou send lightnings that they may go and say unto thee, here we are." It's talking about lightning fast communications where someone can say, here I am. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? We laugh about that, but that's almost the exact wording used in the scripture about this lightning fast verbal communication from a distance that you can hear. This may be a description of the telephone. Maybe it's the radio. People take a trip and they get home and they text you, call you and say, we're here. Lightning fast. Maybe this could be the fax machine. Maybe before the telephone, the preacher might have said, that's the telegraph. Morse code. Who knows? But I'll tell you this. Somehow God knew that there would be lightning fast verbal communication where you could, from a long distance, communicate. I'm going to give you a couple more, and then we'll be done. These two are a little more precious to me. The others are unique little things that you can believe them, you can disbelieve them, it doesn't matter to me. But I will tell you this, the last two are very special and very important to me. The virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 7, verse number 14 says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." Then the Bible says in Luke 1:27, "To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary." The Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah that Jesus would be born, God's son would be born to a virgin. And history and the Bible very clearly states that he predicted in the book of Isaiah came true by the time you got to the New Testament. That's a prophecy fulfilled. that prophecy is far more precious than your telephone. I know for some of you it runs a close second, but that's a powerful prophecy. God said there would be a virgin that would bring forth a son, and Mary did. And he was the Son of God. Not only that, he was also able to predict where. The birthplace of Jesus is predicted in the Old Testament book of Micah, and then that birthplace is solidified in the records in their day that Jesus was born in the place where they predicted he would be born. I'll read to you Micah chapter 5, verse number 2. It says, "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old and from everlasting." So, here it's telling us that great one will be born in Bethlehem. We sing, "O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie." We sing that song. That song is a part of a fulfillment of a prophecy that was made by Micah in the Old Testament, not only about a virgin being born, but the exact city where he would be born. And just so you all know, this whole book will be, has been, or has been or will be perfect in its occurrences. If God said it, you might as well believe it. I try to be cautious. Prophecy is one of those things that's a little difficult. And because in the opening scripture that I read to you from 2 Peter chapter 1, it said there is no prophecy that is of private interpretation. I'm always very careful with prophecy. It's not to be my interpretation thereof. We want God's interpretation. That might be one of the reasons why I say to you, if you disagree, fine, that's fine. I can't always put my finger 100% on something. Now, there are some things in the Bible I will go to the death to fight for, and I'll put my finger on them, and I'll die for them. Whether or not God prophesied the inventing of FaceTime, I'm sorry, I won't. But at least it kept your attention tonight. But I do know this. It says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy," and that's a written word of God, "whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." I believed the Bible for a long time. I chose to believe the Bible by faith when I got saved. I've been believing it by the same faith ever since. But I have to tell you something. The more I've read it, the more I believe it. At first I believed it because it seemed like the thing to do. The longer I read it, the more I'm around it, I believe it deeper. I believe it more. Because I watch its prophecies, its predictions, they're solid, right on the money. I've never found it to be wrong one little bit. Let's strengthen our faith in the Word of God. And just like people read prophecies of old that have been fulfilled since, you and I have prophecies in the future that will be fulfilled before this whole thing's over with. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. Tonight we have ventured into the Scripture to be challenged, maybe even have a little fun talking about the possibilities of the Scripture. If I did not interpret in my opinion properly, I surely did not mean to, but you can look it over, and maybe we will strengthen our faith in the only book that God ever wrote. Who here tonight, maybe in your own unique way, would say, "Tonight, God has spoken to my heart." Maybe you're encouraged. Maybe you've seen something you've never seen before, but you would say to God, "God, tonight, in the teaching and preaching of God's Word, I've been challenged. I've been encouraged. I've gotten something that will help me. And you would raise your hand and let God see it and say, God, I needed that. That was helpful to me for some reason. Maybe you may put those hands down. Maybe in the day and age in which we live, you worry about the future. Don't you worry. You don't have to worry about the future. You know who's got your future in His hand, and that's God. We're going to have an altar call. Now, let me tell you, if you're here tonight and you've never received Jesus as your personal Savior, you need to get born again. We always invite people to the Savior. If you're not saved and you need to be saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Christian, maybe you need a moment at the altar. Maybe your faith needs to be strengthened. Maybe you have some fears that ought to be cared for. Maybe as a result of the teaching tonight, you want to come and say, God, I get troubled. I fear too much. And now I'm reminded tonight of the strength of the Scripture and the power of the Scripture and that you're in control. And I see, and it helps me. But maybe you need the altar for whatever cause. I'll ask the pianist to begin to play at this point. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. If you need to be saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. You say, I have fears about the future. I sure understand that. But have confidence, because the future is in the hands of Almighty God. There are all sorts of people out there that make all sorts of predictions about all sorts of things. Let me explain. The one making the predictions in God's book are not people. It's God. He's already been to the future. He is 100% sure and on target about that future. There is a hell. There is a heaven. There is a second coming of Jesus Christ. There is an Antichrist out there. There is a mark of the beast. There is a tribulation period. There will be 3.5 years of peace and 3.5 years of chaos. There is a millennial reign. There is an eternity in heaven with the God of the universe. Every bit of that is true. There is a new Jerusalem. There are streets of gold. God predicts it all. Everything that He predicted in the past has come to pass. Everything that He predicts for the future will come. Maybe in our lifetime, but if not in this lifetime, in our next lifetime, as we carry right on into heaven. We might see it here. We might see it from the grandstand, but we will see it. I'm sure there are people in the Old Testament that seen the predictions that were coming, and they might not have seen them fulfilled in their day, but from heaven, they were able to say, look at that, right there it is. I knew that was coming. It was in the book. I read it. I knew that was coming, and I get to see it from heaven. But it's going to happen. This is the last time through the song, and in a moment, we'll be on our way, and you can go out and jostle in the streets in your chariots of fire. Thank you so much for coming tonight.